No sun, no moon, no morn, no noon, no dawn, no dusk, no proper time of day, no shade, no shine, November. Tom Hood, a long time ago. November, with its commemoration of All Saints and All Souls, and their very distinct memories, reminiscences and resonances of grief and glory, with the bearing of the trees and the coming of the dark, is in many ways a notoriously gloomy month, when hearts and minds dwell on the severe but inescapable facts of loss and death. Loss is one of the most common and frightening of our experiences. We may lose friends and loved ones. We will lose opportunities. We will inevitably lose our health. We can lose our sense of direction or a clear recognition of what our Christian calling is. We all steadily suffer the loss of time, and we lose something on every occasion that we choose something else. Footfalls echo in the memory down the passage we did not take, towards the door we never opened, into the rose garden, wrote T.S. Eliot rather perceptively. How much have we lost by never opening a particular door or taking a particular path? Memory can hurt, or it can torture us by recalling things that we've lost. And in the midst of all that, today is set aside of all the Sundays of the year as Remembrance Sunday. And what are we called to remember? War? Well, we can hardly be allowed to forget it. Those fallen in war. In that case, our commitment is pretty formidable. The poppy, red as blood, still speaks of human heroism and sacrifice, of hopes deferred or lost, way beyond Flanders fields. And the lists of fallen in war are too much to run our eyes through, and our imaginations break against the obstacle of a rather hideous arithmetic, where no significant change seems to be made by the addition of a naught or two at the end of the right hand. Today, public parades will be made, gestures of homage and sentiments of respect will have to do duty for the broken love and loss of fellow men, women, and children gone to meet their end by slow or sudden violence or death. And also the frustration of a world still unable to find and practice the things that might belong to its peace. Well, there are, of course, different ways of remembering. Remembrance can be a trap, binding us to the past, to moments of past happiness, or hurt, or devastation that just won't let go of us, to old dreams, old betrayals, old loves, that simply seem to rob the present of any flavour, significance, promise, or possibility. Remembrance can keep alive past hurt and injury. It can narrow our field of vision. It can corrupt our mind as well as our hearts. entangle the lives of lots of people I've known and worked with in church and outside it. Prayed that we might be freed from it. I've known it in my own life, and thank God, usually enjoyed deliverance. But that sort of remembrance continues to infect the lives of nations and groups within them, in the Middle East, in Africa, in the five continents, in our national. But we can remember in other ways. And we can remember to different effect as well. We can summon up from the past the richest and the best we've known, reaffirm it, and allow it to colour the present and permeate and inform the future. And that has to be the Christian way. Every day for us is a remembrance day, a day when we remember the Lord, the giver of life, and the good things he's done. Every day is a day above all, a gift, when we remember him not as some long dead, much admired actor on the stage of history, someone appreciated from afar, a good example to follow, but as the Lord of the present instant, as someone who brought forgiveness into lives that seemed unforgivable, who brought love into lives where there seemed nothing lovable. He lives and moves among us still, making sense of our nonsenses, striving to put aside what's mean and shoddy and broken and sinful and unjust in our lives together, and to show us what forgiveness and generosity of spirit might still achieve. There's a very great deal to put aside from the past, but there is much to be remembered if we're to go on building up the body of Christ in its richest sense, our lives together in London, in our national and our international life. Rights of citizenship, the adjustment of privilege, the demands of the spirit of hospitality, many of the things we just take for granted have always been striven for others, by others, at very great cost. Men and women in war and peace across our world have died and are dying for them. So this November, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, today, our services of remembrance for the dead, don't let's just approach them as familiar ground, well trodden, but as those who acknowledge that things rich and good very often ask for sacrifice, as those who really do know that there is no good thing that costs nothing, but as those too who are so affirming bring to life all those acts of self-giving which have enriched our world. And behind them all, that supreme act of self-offering, which I believe all the others reflect, the self-offering of God to us in Christ. In Christ, in life, in death, in resurrection. Now and hereafter.